Jean-Jacques Cornish, we go, the Africa Report. Good morning, Jean-Jacques. Really appreciate your time, as always. Let's start with oil on the African continent, having lost Angola and other members. OPEC, the oil cartel, is courting Namibia, where production can start in 2023, pumping its 2.6 billion barrels of oil reserves.
Bonjour to you. Who would have thought in 2030 that they're due to begin their production? And who would have thought that we'd one day be talking about Namibia as a potential oil power? You know, that means our continent, every single member of our continent, our subcontinent, now has something to offer. You know, we can be the producers of production, and Namibia can provide the oil, and DRC can provide the power. Hydroelectric power. Zimbabwe, if they get their act together, can provide the food. You know, it's quite amazing. But OPEC, founded in 1960 in Baghdad, now based in Vienna, has lost not only Angola, but Ecuador, Qatar, and Indonesia, leaving 12 members. And they're desperate to get to beef up that organization. They've given observer status to Oman, to Egypt, to Canada, and to Norway. And with Namibia has 2.6 billion barrels of oil reserves, according to Total Energy, who's looked at this. And by 2030, when they're producing, OPEC don't want to miss out. They want to certainly to have Namibia in their ranks. So will they bring them in as an observer, first of all? Will Namibia see the benefit of it? Certainly Angola, second largest producer in Africa at the moment behind Nigeria, says there's no benefit to them in belonging to OPEC. So it's interesting. You know, I covered that meeting of the gas exporters forum. And, you know, these people stick together. In OPEC's case, they tried to regulate the price with the gas. They don't. But they believe that united they stand and have a better forum to impress and to certainly get their way on international markets. But as members start to be whittled away by OPEC, it weakens the organization.
Zambia currently being devastated by drought, and that country's president Hakainde Hichilema is appealing to the international community for 900 million rand in aid to help with the relief for half of Zambia's 20 million population currently feeling the effects of drought.
Good luck to him. Good luck to Zambia. They were, I think, were the first, ahead of Malawi and Zimbabwe, to declare a state of disaster for that drought in their country. In Zambia's case, half of its 20 million population are badly, badly affected by it. Now, of course, this is donor fatigue all over. There was something like, 4% of the appeal for money to Sudan went there, that was made as an international appeal. But it's interesting, the heat in Africa. We have this killer heat in West Africa, killed hundreds of people in this past month. And it's found, scientists, that this is human-induced. It's a 1-in-200-year event, and it's likely to become more frequent. So, how much of this drought is as a result of global warming? I would imagine that scientists will find it's very largely attributed to that. And when it comes to compensating people for global warming, will those countries we mentioned, the countries of our subcontinent, will they be compensated?
And then finally, Jean-Jacques, China is trying to shape the African media using soft power to increase its influence on the continent.
Well, you know, there's 37 Xinhua agency bureaus in Africa, the largest number of anyone. I mean, I worked for an agency for many, many, many years, and we never could afford to have an African bureau on SAPA. Now, what is happening there is, and the Star Times, which is the digital television Chinese agency, they second to DSTV in Africa. So they're very, very active. They take out journalists to train them. There's a Kenyan editor who was talking about a roster he had to keep because at any given time, half of his newsroom would be in China being trained. But the interesting thing there is that something like 50 Kenyans working for Chinese media outlets produce something like 1,800 news items a week. So that's it. The Chinese policy, the Chinese agenda, the Chinese, the whole Chinese look at things all works there. And then, of course, there's pressure that the Chinese can bring to bear when it's reporting on corruption involving China. They can hold back on training methods and they have influence and investment in these media outlets, African media outlets. So it could be quite insidious. Obviously, they want to advance their narrative and policies and norms, but how much are they skewing journalism and the media in Africa in doing this?
Jean-Jacques Cornish with the Africa Report. Really appreciate your time. Looking forward to chatting to you next week.